Well, hello and good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jen A. I reside here in Littleton, Colorado, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God, for your grace and mercy on my life. Today is Wednesday, March 5th, 2025, and we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter titled Into Action. We're on page number 83, and we're reading that first paragraph and commenting on it only. It begins with, yes, there's a long that one paragraph ending with patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. All right, well, here's Team Wednesday. 12 steps, Charlotte W. 12 traditions, Karen W. Reader of the text is Vanessa G. Closing reader is Lynn S. Backup reader is Jessica C. Our newcomer greeter this hour is Bonnie B. And second hour moderator will be Colleen M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, March 4th, 2025, are the following. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, it's 22,218. That's 2218. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, it's 22,219. 22219. Here's the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose here. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Charla W. to read the steps. Good morning, Charla.
Good morning. This is Charla W. I pray miracles and blessings to all of you from Texas. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for allowing me to be of service. God bless.
May you appreciate. Yeah. I'm now going to ask Karen W. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning to you, Karen.
Good morning, Jen. This is Karen W. in Katy, Texas, grateful compulsive overeater. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting others or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group must never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Welcome to the newcomers, and thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Charla W. and Karen W. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to read a paragraph or two from the literature. Then we're going to stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. And then once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study of the chapter Into Action out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we're on page 83. We're going to start off with that first paragraph, and I will now ask Vanessa G. to begin reading.
Good morning, everyone. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. This is the top of page 83, Into Action. Yes. There is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fit the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. Oh, I love my Big Book. I really do. You know, yesterday I got a little bit misty, I think. One of the speakers yesterday, or one of the people who shared, talked about our true nature. And knowing that I really want to be patient, tolerant, kind, and loving, you know, patient, tolerant, kind, and loving, is such a relief to me, finding that this book understands that and understands that I was always stymied in trying to be that way. I didn't know how to show up in my family. I didn't know how to show up with that type of an attitude, with that type of a personality, if you will, and I certainly wasn't capable of it. And right at this point in the program, I started to see things differently, actually had a tremendous amount of different eyesight, different perspective, different personality in terms of different attitude. And so I could sit down with my family And I could see just my side of it, or I could talk about just my side of it. And I began to be very patient, very tolerant, very kind, and very loving. It's not every day that I show up that way, but I do ask every morning, God, please help me show up in this way. Help me, you know, clear my mind and help me think of others. And it works. It really does. I get to be that person that I really wanted to be most of the time. And I get to live with myself without the food and with God. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Vanessa G. All right. We value everybody's experiences on the line today, and we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on what was read? I'll take your first name, first initial, your last name. Harlan?
Harlan G, yeah.
Georgia?
Somebody
Amy
from
MC.
Georgia.
Haley, Haley R. in Georgia.
Did you
Haley,
get Christina again?
Haley
Matt.
R. from Georgia. Christina J.
Amy M.
Jessica C.
Melissa.
Marian
Amy
H.
M. C. Marian, what's your last one? Last initial?
H. H. S. and Harry.
Thank you so much. I got Harlan, Haley, Amy, Christina, and Marian. Anyone else that I missed?
Jessica C.
Melissa C. Melissa C.
Jessica and Melissa.
Hey.
All right, we got y'all. Let's see. Okay, so this will be our first round. I have Harlan G, Haley R, Amy M C, Christina J, Marian H, Jessica C, and Melissa C. If I'm incorrect on anything, just tell me when you get up to pitch, and then also if you'll let us know what state you're calling from. That helps people find you on the member list. Harlan G, go right ahead.
Thank you very much, Jen. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. This paragraph is very pivotal for me. I've waited for it for a few days here because it talks about the long period of reconstruction ahead, which is very, very apropos for me because my reconstruction is still going on. I've been here in this program for 46 years. I've been abstinent 26 of those 46 years with periods of abstinence here and there before that. But my growth and what I get in touch with on the inside, the layers of the onion, are being revealed to me by my higher power on an everyday basis. I think it's just astounding. It's just astounding. And the other thing that's very important for me to remember here is that I have to take action. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry will not fit the bill at all. On Friday, we're going to be talking about there may be some wrongs that we can never right. And my relationship with my mother, who died before I ever came in here. My mom died when I was 22. My dad died when I was 24. And I didn't come in here till I was 24 after my father had passed. So my relationship with them in doing amends to them, I do amends to them on my birthday, their birthdays, and the days that they died. I sit and write letters and things like that. My relationship with them is tremendously improved. I am at peace with them, and I'm at peace with me as it relates to them. I don't know if I'm making any sense. There's another thing here that I want to talk about because one of the things I hear in OA all the time is you work the steps in order, you work the steps in order. Yeah, you do, but you work them together. Let's take a look here where it says, so we clean house with the family asking each morning in meditation. Now, we're in step 9, but there's a reference here to step 11. There's a reference here to step 10, because when we turn the page next week and we get to step 10, we're going to find out that love and tolerance of others is going to be our code in step 10. So here we are in 9, it's assumed we're doing 10, and it's assumed that we're doing 11. Gosh, that breaks some of the myths. One of these days I'm going to write a book on sponsorship. I hope you'll all read it. But the bottom line is we have 11 references in 9, 10 references in 9. So once again, I'm reminded, yes, we work the steps in order, but we work them together, and we need to start sponsoring, and we need to do 10s and 11s while we're doing 9. If I didn't have 10 to lean on, I'd never go through 9 because 9 is too frightening for me. So I have to do 10 steps all the time. Hey, Jen, thanks for your service. Thanks for the 3 minutes. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
That's perfect timing, Harlan. Thanks so much for your share this morning on the line. Up next, we have Haley R. from Georgia. Good morning to you, Haley.
Hey, good morning. This is Haley R., recovered in Georgia.
Woo!
What a hefty paragraph. So one of the things that stuck out to me that in this long period of reconstruction that we must take the lead. Every morning when I wake up, I do my prayer meditation. And a lot of times I'm praying for the patience, the tolerance, the kindliness, and love, because I don't wake up every day in that frame of reference. I wake up every day very selfish, and today I'm more selfish than I was yesterday. That character defect for me is primary and strong. But I remember this rang me, when I read this, it made me think back to when I made my amends and my then 7-year-old, you know, I like to say I used to scream at my kids because I was just living a very unrecovered life, and there was no reason to really scream at the kids. I was just discontented, and that caused me to yell a lot. Well, they're still young, and they do things, and sometimes I yell at my kids, but I'm yelling for a reason, not because I show up restless, irritable, and discontented. But when I you know, here it tells us we ought to sit down with a family and analyze what we're doing, not to criticize them, but to think about how our defects are glaring and take responsibility for our part. So when I made the amends to my 7-year-old, one of the things I said to everyone at the end of my amends was, what can I do better? What can I do to make this right? And he looked at me, he said, just relax. And I looked at him and I cried. It was really a very poignant moment in my recovery, because he wasn't wrong. And part of relaxing for me is this long period of reconstruction, because without me front loading my day with prayer, meditation, and getting centered with my higher power, who I call God, I will show up that selfish, discontented person. But part of the amends for me in that is that I owe it to myself, my children, my fellows, everybody I come into contact with, to sit down first thing in the morning with God and pray for the ability to be patient, tolerant, and kind, because I don't show up naturally that way. So for me, it started with cleaning house with my family, and it continues. The long road for me looks like getting up every morning and meditation and asking God, please help me be this way, because I'm not naturally this way. So that was a great paragraph, and thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much for your show this morning, Haley R. from Georgia. Up next, we have Amy MC, followed by Christina J. Good morning, Amy. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. Good morning, family. Thank you, Jen. I think it is, for doing service, and everyone here on the back end doing service, and everybody listening and showing up for another day. Excuse me. You know, what really stood out to me, as has been said, is the long period of reconstruction. And so I just hit 14 years in recovery and being abstinent from the food, and continuing to live by God's grace one day at a time. But what's more powerful than that is what Harlan was saying about, you know, continuing to work all the steps. And yeah, I worked all the steps in order, but they all work together. And so what this long period of reconstruction looks like for me most recently is a reconstruction with some family members, and God continuing to remove character defects and having amends, you know, work in new and beautiful ways. You know, when I came in, 14 years ago, my biggest qualifier, you know, if you will, was my father. He was alcoholic. His father was alcoholic. I blamed him. He was a rageaholic. And, you know, I thought that's where my disease came from. And, you know, all of these misconceptions kind of. And as I continued the long period of reconstruction, as in God reconstructing me and my thinking and my belief system and the way I live and the way I treat others and the amends I make. Yesterday, I got to have, you know, and this has been ongoing. It's not 100% new, but it looks so different. I, you know, had this project at my house, and I knew, you know, I kind of finagled something. My dad is a super mechanical person, and I have a mechanical mind, you know, but not as good as his. And so I have this problem that needs to be solved, and, you know, I kind of figured out a way to do it. But I was like, hey, Dad, I really need you. You know, can you help me look at this and figure it out? And sure, Amy, I will be there, you know, and we made plans. And he came over and we had a lovely time. Yeah, he came up with a solution to my problem. We got to go to the hardware store together. I got to introduce him to the older man who works there, who reminds me of my dad because he knows a lot. And when I go in there and I describe something, he's got it. He knows what I'm talking about. And so to share that with both of them was really cool. And then we went out to dinner and my dad doesn't really understand my disease of compulsive overeating. He doesn't have to. What did I do? I took out my scale and I weighed and measured my food. No big deal. Came back, did some additional measurements, and he was off. Texted me later in the evening saying, hey, all set. I said, oh, I messed up. You can't come over tomorrow. One of the kids has his birthday party, da, 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 da. And no big, I'll see you Saturday. Okay, that's reconstruction, folks. One, look, I'm not obsessing in my mind about food, about the people, places, and things. I'm not blaming and shaming others. Two, I'm able to have this relationship with my dad. I'm able to ask for help. I'm able to hear him. I'm able to hear him and, you know, where he is in his life without judgment. And look, I even brought my scale. I did what I do. I weighed and measured my food. He doesn't have to get it. Thank you. I heard that. This is all that reconstruction period and working the steps in order together. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Amy. Where are you calling from today? Okay. Let's see. Up next, we have Christina J, followed by Marion H. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Jen. Good morning, everyone. You know, what's really striking me here on the shares has been wonderful is what a beautiful healing journey that takes me back into patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. Something that's always been in my heart, but my whole selfish mode of life was in the way. And what a gift to have been brought to this program so I could scrape away and dig out all the things that were in the way of reconstructing something that I already had in myself, just waiting down there like little seeds of flowers to bloom up and be of service to others. Through my periods of reconstruction on the outer world with people, you know, apologizing for my selfishness, my self-centeredness, and dishonesty. And who gets to take the lead but me? Because I'm in recovery. You know, I always tell myself I take the higher road, not out of ego, but because most people aren't in this program, I get to take the lead. I get to be of service, not only to myself, but those around me. I love this remorseful mumbling that we're sorry. I mean, to me, that's like going in with shame, you know, mumbling. I don't go in with shame. I go in with confidence and God's courage to say, you know, I was wrong. I was wrong. I did things that were harmful to you. And that's not going to happen anymore as long as I stay in this program and work it. And what a beautiful thing, because Harlan mentioned the period of reconstruction continues. And indeed, I get to days where I think, well, there's nothing left else that I need to work on. And then sure enough, some strange irritation comes along from someone, places, people, or things, and I'm back in the hole, right? And but I have this program. I have 10 steps. I have 11 steps. I have fellows. I have God. I have prayer. I have journaling. I have all this stuff. Do I sit in that hole with all this stuff? No. I want to move back into those places of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. It's my job, as far as I'm concerned. This is my greatest service in a world that's suffering right now deeply on many, many levels, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, you know, not only from what's going on in the world, and but from their own lives and things that are away. Many people don't know how to handle all this. You know, addiction is at an all-time high in our world. I have a wonderful opportunity to take the lead and be of service with my recovery. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Christina J. from North Carolina. Up next, we have Marion H., followed by Jessica C. And where are you calling from today, please? Marion, press star one. We can't hear you.
Good morning. This is Marion H. from South Florida. Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. So like I said, my name is Marion H. I'm in OA for 52 years, and I finally could say that I worked with a vision sponsor for all the 12 steps, and I could sponsor. It hurts me very much that it took me this long. I never left the rooms, but God is awesome and good. I have parts of this paragraph underlined, so I would like to read that. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. Well, I'm a very patient person, that I am. I don't know about tolerance and kindness. I'm working on that with God's help, and I'm just so, so grateful that my time has finally come. There is shame there that it took me this long, but like I said, I never left, and God is good, and I love Vision. You guys are my family, and it's my most favorite meeting, my home meeting, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody in November. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful, blessed day, everyone, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Marion H. from South Florida. Up next, we have Jessica C., followed by Melissa C. Good morning, Jessica.
Hi, good morning. This is Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. I also wanted to share about this long period of reconstruction because, you know, I'm an addict and I want quick fixes and I want the drama of, you know, a big emotional one-time apology that I make to someone else where, you know, we instantly feel closer with each other, you know, with the person I'm apologizing to. I feel more bonded to them. It's dramatic. You know, I grew up in an environment where we were always fighting and making up with each other, and it seemed to be, you know, our love language. God has brought me to a husband whose family is not like that at all. They're more even keeled. And sometimes I have a hard time with my mother-in-law who, unlike me, she doesn't adjust herself to the situation the way that I tend to, so that I can get people to like me. You know, I can be like what the person described in pages 60 to 63, you know, trying harder to be more gracious and more people pleasing, really to get my own ends met. You know, my mother-in-law is not like that. She's just like herself. She just herself, she all of the time. And, she's a lovely person. Just sometimes she acts in ways that, you know, are my pet peeves. You know, we were together recently and she wasn't following my script and she wasn't picking up on my unspoken signals to stop acting a certain way. Like, how dare she? And I got annoyed with her and I spoke to her in a frustrated tone. And, you know, I wasn't sure if I needed to make an amends. I spoke to my sponsor about it, and she said to me, you know, if anything, making an amends to her would increase your intimacy, build emotional intimacy with your mother-in-law. So I knew I had to do it and make the amends. So I did it, but there wasn't this, it wasn't this dramatic moment where we, you know, hugged each other and told each other how much we loved each other. You know, she just was sort of matter of fact about it and acknowledged that I did seem frustrated with her. And then we moved on to the next topic. So yeah, you know, it just, to me, it reminds me of this long period of reconstruction, which suggests sustained effort. You know, it's not the dramatic highs and lows. It's very deliberate. You know, we plan to be tolerant, patient, kind and loving towards these people in our lives. And I know that this isn't like a big amends, but for me, it's a situation, again, where I have to keep practicing patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love, because I know the same situation will happen again. And I'm now in this recovered state where it feels really objectionable to act out in my character defects, to keep playing out this old pattern of fighting, getting irritated, making up. You know, when I would do that in the past, it always led me into the food. And in my inventories, you know, I could see the damage, the long-term damage that, you know, that pattern causes. And I want to change. You know, I want to be someone whose first response isn't to get annoyed and frustrated, but whose first response is one of love. So yeah, I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jessica C. Up next, we have Melissa C. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Jen. Really happy to hear you this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York, and you know, gosh, I love this paragraph. I love the patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. But I have to tell you the part I don't love, which I've come to see as my greatest call, is that I must take the lead. Because what that tells me is it's really easy to be loving, patient, tolerant, and kind to people who I perceive are also loving, patient, tolerant, and kind, but not so much with those that I'm perceiving are not. And that's what it means to take the lead. Because, it sort of says here that you know, their defects might be glaring, you know. And so those are the people that I need to lead, but not so much with my words, but with my actions. That my actions are what, you know, sort of set the tone, set the pace. And, you know, I feel like this, you know, if I wake up today, it means that God and the universe still has a plan for me. And it's to practice patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. And you know, the long period of reconstruction had I've been able to do wonderful things with God's help with my family that I created, with my husband and my children. You know, they were young, and it was organic for me to take the lead there. But not so with my family of origin. You know, I am the youngest of five children, and here's what my period of reconstruction looks like. You know, many years ago when my dad was dying, they kept it from me. My siblings, because I'm the youngest, and my mom, they all knew that my father was really ill, and they waited to tell me. And when I found out, I had a hissy fit, like a great big baby fit. How dare you? How dare you? I was angry at them. Rather than, you know, considering why was that? And when my mother said to me, because we just didn't want to upset you, I got even angrier. I thought, there's something wrong with you people. I had no patience, no tolerance, no kindliness, right? Because it was all about me, and they didn't tell me. And now, you know, I look at it through grown-up eyes, which recovery has allowed me to grow up, and I realize, yeah, because my upsetness sucked all the oxygen out of the room. It hijacked everybody. And here I am now, new season, next season. Now my mom, you know, we're at that point with my mother where she is got full-blown dementia. She's suffering with COVID right now. And I get to take the lead with my family. I'm the liaison between my mom's facility and my siblings. I'm the go-to person that is making all the big decisions. I can't believe it. When the hell did I grow up, you know? And I'm relaying the information to my siblings, and I get to do it with patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love, even when their defects are glaring, you know? And I'm really grateful for this program today. I thought I came here that it was all going to be about losing the weight, and that, and my dear friend says that was just God's opening act. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Melissa C. from New York. Growing up with you, sister. It's been fun. All right, you guys ready for this? 247 days, the Power of the Big Book Conference, November 7th through the 9th. Oh, you haven't signed up yet. Well, go to the website, A Vision for You website, and sign up. You don't want to miss out. It's amazing. We haven't had one since 2019, so it'd be great to see everybody there. And it's just power-packed. So now we're going to continue with our meeting, and we're going to resume our study in the chapter Into Action. We're on the big book on page 83, the first paragraph. It's a great read this morning, and great to share. If you haven't shared before, be brave, press star one. And if you want to share again, go right ahead. I'll take your first name and the first initial of your last name.
LCM.
Holy crap.
Sorry, somebody M.
LCM.
LCM. Gotcha.
Well, Sam.
Sorry, was that Lee H?
Anne Marie.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Lee H. Russ M. Anne Marie. Okay, who else? Elsie Lee, Russ, Anne Marie. All you have to do is press star one, unmute your phone, and you can put your name up there.
Chris G in Tennessee.
Thanks, Chris. All right, I have Elsie Lee, Russ, Anne Marie, and Chris. And who else is that?
Lynn S.
Lynn S. Perfect. All right, let's get started. Elsie M, you're going to be up. I'm sorry, what was it, R?
Jessica R.
Thanks, Jessica. All right, here we go. LCM, you're up first, followed by Lee H. Go right ahead, LC. Welcome. Where are you calling from today? You'll probably have to press star one to unmute your phone again, LC.
Hi, this is LC.
I can hear you now, LC. Great. Where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, and my call got dropped, and then I couldn't get back on. Anyhow, I just wanted to reiterate what other people are saying about the value of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. Every morning in my morning prayers, I say that section of the that sentence, because I just think it is so important for me to remember these things and to be guided by these principles. And patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And I love what somebody else had shared about how they wish they could always react from a place of love instead of, you know, maybe anxiety, fear, or resentment, that kind of thing. And this is a guiding principle for me, and it means the world to me, and I'm just so glad that we're spending time talking about it. That's all I have. I'm Elsie from Pennsylvania.
Thanks, Elsie from Pennsylvania. Glad you got back on to share with us. Up next,
Thank
we have
you.
Lee H., followed by Russ M. Good morning to you, Lee. Where are you calling from?
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much. This is Lee H., and I am calling from Tennessee this morning, and I'm so glad to be here, and these are really wonderful shares. Yes, I'm a compulsive eater also, but I'm recovering, thankfully, by the grace of God, and I want to just probably repeat some things I've already heard, but I'm just so thankful because the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love is included in a prayer that I prayed during a season in my life where my husband was getting ready to have a pretty major surgery, and we were separated. And I was going through these steps with a sponsor in this program, and it really saved my marriage because I felt like my higher power, who is so creative, led me to take care of him during that, you know, difficult time. And over the months after his surgery, we came back together, and he now has Parkinson's, which is another season in my life. You know, I think this reconstruction does just continue all of our lives. But, you know, my higher power is helping me with that also, and I'm seeing where I've been spending way too much time playing bridge and doing things at my 50 Forward Center. And my higher power just showed me it's time to look at doing some things, you know, taking the lead and getting out with my husband, and whether it's just driving around the neighborhood to see the building going on, or whether it's, you know, just anything, but to spend more time with him. And, you know, they're just things that come along, and I'm so thankful that I have this program where I can, you know, look at these steps and ask God, you know, what would you have me do today? What step do I need to work on today? Do I have an amends to make? You know, have I been dishonest today, or have I been selfish? And they're just, you know, lots of seasons that come along in our lives. And I just look back and I see where he just takes me from season to season to season in recovery and in healing. And I'm just really thankful. So I will pass and look forward to seeing many of you in November. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Lee H. from Tennessee. See you there. Russ M., you're up, buddy, followed by Anne Maria. Go ahead.
Good morning, Jen. Good morning, everyone. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater. So first off, you know, trying to be a regular human being is pretty damn hard. This life will put manners on you. So I just want to thank everybody for this meeting, that put this meeting together, because it really, really helped me out, grew me up through over these years, and it's brought me very close to God. It really, really helped me, taught me how to live life a little bit through this meeting, and everyone that's involved that helped me get where I'm at. So yeah, that long period of reconstruction, I was thinking, like, you know, I've been acting a fool since I'm about, I don't know, 6-7 years old. And now that I, you know, I got like eight and change of recovery, 8 years of recovery, you know, that everything's going to be perfect, and Russell Montalbano is going to be a great man, and I'm never going to slip up in the way I handle people, or I'm just going to be, I got to figure it out. It's just, you know, I'm realizing I'm just scratching the surface on emotionally, spiritually, how my body, you know, how you react to different things, and food got to be eliminated. Oh, the whole package. Like, I'm a work in progress. It's going to take forever, and I'll probably have it figured out, like I always say, about 12 minutes after I'm dead. And also that thing about glaring, you know, their defects would be glaring. It stuck out to me when that was read today, because, you know, now that I'm Captain OA, Captain Recovery, and I know, you know, my character defects pretty good. I'm an expert at this. I know how to pick it out, you know, to people. And it's just not the way to live. And I can't get too big for my britches and realize that through the grace of God, I'm doing anything. And just got to keep working. You know, you just got to keep working. And the cool thing is, there's a guarantee, those promises, that if we do this, you know, seldom have we seen someone fail who thoroughly followed our path. So there's hope. There's hope. And that, you know, you could be free and be, you have to be a maniac in life, over life. You know, you can enjoy it along the way and be patient with yourself, not giving yourself an out. But, you know, be tough on yourself, but understanding and loving and caring and merciful to others. So that's what this passage meant to me today. And thanks again, really. Y'all helped me out. So thanks for letting me share. Love you.
Thanks, Russ. All right, up next we have Anne Marie. I think it's M. Anne Marie, where are you calling from today?
Yes, it is. It is M. Thanks, Jen, for taking the meeting. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina, and gratefully recovering from compulsive overeating. And so the first thing that stood out to me was we must. And so many times I've heard in meetings that take what you like and leave the rest. And you don't, there's no must in the big book. And certainly there, I found quite a few must in the big book. So we must take the lead. It is so easy for me to see the defects in other people. And they just seem to stand out so much. And it's by doing this work and looking at myself and, you know, doing the work every day, working all of the steps every day, that I can, you know, stop and when I see other people's defects and pause and say, okay, why am I judging this person? You know, if I don't judge others, then I'm not angry with them. It's so simple. And it's my judgment, you know, that's a defect of character of mine, that when I judge, then I find fault. So, you know, so I just don't judge. Well, it's not, God has to help me with that. I just can't just stop judging. And I love the prayer at the end here, the last sentence. I see it as a prayer, asking each morning in meditation that God show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And like it's been said before, that doesn't just come naturally to me. God has to give that to me, and it's when in asking that he does. So that's about all I have to say. Just grateful to be here. I appreciate everyone's share, and I will pass. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Anne Marie. I'm from South Carolina. Up next, we have Chris G. from Tennessee, followed by Lena. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for everyone that does service for this meeting. So let's look at the text. I've heard many times that this is an instruction. It's an instruction. It gives specific instruction, and this is wonderful. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fill the bill at all. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fill the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being careful not to criticize them. So we're going to look at the past, but we're going to be careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are responsible too. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. So it says each morning, each morning, over and over and over again, we meditate more than once, and we clean house with the family, and we ask for the power to share patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. We ask God to give us something we don't have. I don't have patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. I don't have those things. But I ask God to make me have them, to let me have them, to show me how to have them. And I love this paragraph. I love the part where it says, we are sorry won't fill the bill. We are sorry won't fill the bill. And how do we get patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love? Well, we meditate every day over and over and over, each day, more than once. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris G. from Tennessee. Up next, we have Lynn S. followed by Jessica R. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Jen. Good morning. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I was a human, resourceful mumbling. That was me. It was like a character in Charlie Brown that could have added me in there. And that was all I could do. And I did it every day, over and over and over again, for the harms that I'd caused others, or the hurts, or the misspeaks, the missteps, the misdoes that I did every single day. And over things that I was sure was happening to me, fancy to real, I couldn't tell the difference. It was all real to me, and it was awful. And that was my life. That was my life. And just as awful as I felt about the things that were happening to me, I felt even worse over the things that I was doing. And it seemed like there was no way out. And what's amazing to me is, because math is not my forte, but apparently this year I was 36 years old when I came into program, and I'm going to be 36 years in program now. And it's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. And I love this, that it says a period of reconstruction ahead. And it certainly has been a period of reconstruction. And I analyze the past as I now see it, which changes, because I'm still undergoing this period of reconstruction. And when I don't stay in the period of reconstruction, and I rest on my laurels, I end up in prelapse. And prelapse for me, I've done it twice now, ends up being in relapse, because I don't do anything about it. We must take the lead. How do I do that? So I clean house, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. You know, I was going to say those aren't my natural instincts, but you know what? They kind of are now. People say to me, like they call me because they knew they would get a kind answer or patience. And I'm going, are you kidding me? This used to be Lynn S. in Toronto, and everybody would say, you're so intimidating. You're so intimidating. People don't say that now. And I'm just sitting here realizing there is a change. God does change us. God restores us to sanity. And I used to say, I don't want a God to restore me to anything, because what I had before wasn't any good. But I don't take it to mean that anymore, restore like I get what I used to be. I take it that God is restoring me to the image of the woman He wanted me to be, or He wants me to be. And I'm just so darn grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lynn. Appreciate you. All right, that gives us 2 minutes on the clock for Jessica. Jessica R., where are you calling from today?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Where are you calling from today, Jessica?
Great.
You have 2 minutes.
My name is Jessica R., and I'm calling from Maryland. I am a compulsive overeater, and I just remember when I first did the steps, my sponsor, you know, presenting to me that I had to make an amends to the people who had wronged me. And I remember just being so critical of my family members, but she really encouraged me to keep an open mind and really look at my part, you know, in particular the expectations that I had for my family were crazy. They were so unattainable for anybody. They were only obtainable for the perfect human being, and that person is not on this earth right now. And as soon as I started to look at people with more patience and more love and more appreciation for their gifts and what they bring to the table as opposed to what they don't bring to the table, I feel like I'm starting to love myself more, and I'm starting to feel more loved by other people. And so it's just such a blessing. And I'll just
I'll just also add that my sponsor used to say, still says it, I suppose, if you spot it, you got it. When you or criticize somebody else and you have a critical thought, turn to yourself and say, you probably have that character defect too. And that is all. Thank you for letting me share today.
Well, perfect timing. Thank you, Jessica R. from Maryland. Glad you got in today. Thank you to everyone who shared. Thanks for joining us today. If you're on the line, just listening. And if you want to join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing, hang around. All right, grab your pen and paper. Here's the share ID for today. Today is Wednesday, March 5th, and the share ID is 22,225. That's 22225. So we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will my friend Lynn S. please read A Vision for You?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.